What's up, guys? Welcome to the Extremely Biased Sports Podcast. We're your hosts, right? I'm here, Alex DeBoas, and I'm here with a very special guest, dude, because Jerry and Nick weren't able to make it in today, but I'm here with Jared.
You know it.
All right, man. We all trash on you every week.
Yeah.
This week, you get to do the trashing.
Yeah, about freaking time, bro. This is some bullshit that I hear every week.
How was fantasy for you this week?
Terrible. I don't even want to talk about it. Horrible. My receivers were Ghost, Lockett, and Gallup let me down with like 4 or 5 points max. Like, it was ridiculous. At least Kamara and Kareem Hunt, they popped off, but wasn't enough to beat Jerry. Fuck you. Fuck you, Jerry. That's where I'm at.
All right. I'm on my way to hand Jared his second L this week because I'm playing
Definitely not.
I need Kenny and Drake to do something other than 3.5 points, please. My running backs this week, completely non-existent. I could have played and gotten more points. I think they combined for like 14 points, right? Which doesn't sound that bad. But It's because 11 of them came from David Johnson. That was horrendous.
David Johnson.
The GOAT. My receivers went off this week. The only one that didn't meet their projection was Kenny Golladay, but he missed it by a point. So it wasn't
his first week back?
His second week.
Oh, second week back.
Yeah. And in both weeks he's put up 17 and 16 points. So I like how that's turning out.
He's a league receiver. I'll give him that.
And then on my bench, I left Will Fuller because he gave me 0 points 2 weeks ago. And this week he had like 24.
Yeah, this week he popped off.
He's been popping off every week that I haven't played him. It's great.
Bro, that's mad funny.
It's great. But you know, I like the way my team's looking. Not going to lie.
No, me too, man. Like, I feel like it's definitely improved, like compared to last year. Like right now, I'm 3-1. I'm still in first place. I had like no expectation, like being like.
I could have drafted a college fantasy football team, and it would have been better than you.
Nah, chill. Because right. It's me in first place, and then I think Jerry's manager.
I'm in second, second to last place or something?
You're probably in last place.
Let's see. Oh, shit, I am in last place.
What do you want? You're 1-3?
1-3, baby.
No, honestly, man, this whole COVID thing, like, fucked a lot of shit up for everyone.
Yeah,
like, this year, I was supposed to have James Conner playing against the Titans, and you know what they do? Postponed. So, I needed
that Chiefs game to be postponed. Jacob had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Bro, Jacob, man, don't get me started on him. He was just saying how like half his players had COVID, but yeah, he still scored, I think, the highest amount of points and still won. Unbelievable.
It was complete luck. He got carried this week. I played against him.
I was hoping you would
win. Man, Melvin Gordon had the time of his career playing against a JV football team, the Jets. You know what I mean? He had 25 points.
The Jets, I think. Like, the Ferguson Falcons can beat the Jets.
Did you see that catch by Jerry Jeudy? Destroyed the Jets cornerback.
Bro, that was beautiful.
It was pathetic.
And then he did the stare down, too. Yeah. I saw that,
Why wouldn't you stare him down? What is he going to do, fight you? No, hold him by the head?
Nah, man, Jerry Jeudy, man. A lot of these rookie receivers, bro.
Popping off this week. CeeDee Lamb did good. Jerry Jeudy.
I'm telling you, bro, it's amazing.
So, yeah, you know, we're talking about performances anyways, right? We're going to start with our NFL topics this week, and now we got to pick our performance of the week. Mm. Who you got, Jared?
I got George Kittle, San Francisco tight end, had 15 receptions for 183 yards and a touchdown.
It's the best tight end in the league. I don't care what anyone says. That's
not
undisputed.
Gonna lie. I kind of agree. I would say, too. I know Nick thinks Travis Kelce is, and I respect that, but...
Nick and Jerry both think Kelce. To me, it's like, all right, all-around tight end, it's like not even a question. It's Kelce. It's Kittle, because Kittle blocks. Like, have you seen this man block? He's like an extra offensive lineman.
No, I love Kittle, man.
If he were to play offensive lineman, he'd be one of the best ones in the league ever. That's how good he
smells
blocks.
What The Rock is cooking, for
yeah,
sure.
He's a god.
Bro, you saw The Rock was, like, watching that game just for Kittle? Because apparently they're like,
of course,
close.
They're like best friends. It's because he like the way Kittle is. He's a very like wrestling like,
and energetic
personality.
Bro. I, his personality, man, is one of a kind.
That's why the 49ers are going back to the Super Bowl this year. I don't care what anyone says.
And he had a knee sprain, bro, and he popped off for 40 points.
Bro, those backup quarterbacks were literally just passing the ball to him. It was pretty bad.
Well, it was Nick Mullins and
then he got benched for CJ Beathard. You know what I mean?
So the third string. Hopefully, yeah. Jimmy G comes back and George Kittle can keep popping off.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's supposed to come back this week, which is good for my dad's
Jimmy G?
Team. Yeah.
Oh, no
against
shit.
The Dolphins. That's an easy W. And then we're going to talk about this later, but there's a reason why I want the 49ers to win this week. Right? For my performance of the week, I went with Aaron Rodgers. My man's put up 327 yards with 4 touchdowns and 147.5 quarterback rating.
He is a bad man.
He's the definition of a bad man, dude. He's playing like a godsend right now. Might have pulled ahead of Russell Wilson in the MVP race this week.
Nah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, I give him props, man. Like,
pretty nasty. And he did it without Devontae Adams. He did it without Alan Lazard. And like, I don't even know who his tight end was, and his tight end popped off this week.
I have no idea either.
And Jamal Williams, you saw me. I picked him up. You should have played him. Popped off this week.
Right, you were telling me to put Devontae Adams in and then
put in Russell Gage. You would have lost anyways.
At least Russell Gage had 4 points. Devontae Adams didn't even play. So
yeah, but you had them both on your team. Yeah. So you would have just swapped them in. All right, this is a conversation for another day. you gotta use common sense, Jared. All right, so now we're going to move into our news. Obviously, Bill O'Brien got fired from the Texans. This is something that a lot of people saw a long time coming.
Should have happened a long time ago.
Should have happened before he got hired. Like, just
Oh my God, man.
The interview process, they're just like, buddy, you're fired. Right?
The fact that he was a coach and a general manager disgusts me.
It's retarded. There's so many coaches that have done so much more than him in the NFL and like don't have that power. And they're like hoping to get that power one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. So which NFL coach do you think is like next on the hot seat?
Well, this shouldn't be no surprise. I got Adam Gase of the Jets. They are terrible. Probably the worst team in the NFL. And Adam Gase is just like, he looks so uncomfortable every time like you look at him or talk to him. Like he looks horrible.
He's looked uncomfortable since like that first press conference. Do you remember like with the eyes?
Oh my God. He looks like, I thought he was like high as fuck.
Yeah, bro. That man definitely did some lines before that. Dude.
Bro. Oh my God. Who you got?
For me, dude? Like, okay, there's one reason I won't say Adam Gase, right? Okay. And it's because, like, the Jets just aren't smart enough to fire him, right? Obviously, he deserves to be fired.
I mean, they did skip up on Mahomes, so it's understandable.
I mean, it's because Mahomes wasn't going to be a franchise quarterback, according to
that's him. You're so right. Look at him now, just not popping
up. I think they said something similar about, was it Deshaun Watson that they didn't think he was going to be a franchise quarterback either?
God,
and that's
man.
Why they waited in that draft to go draft
disgusting,
Sam Darnold.
Bro. Disgusting.
That's hilarious. But the one I think, Dan Quinn.
I agree.
I think this man's definitely
he's
next.
0-4.
His days are counted, right? No, but you know what his record is since the Super Bowl?
What?
24-28.
God.
My man. And that's because he had one winning season where he won 10 games.
Really?
So he's only had 14 wins in 3 seasons. 2 seasons of 7-9. Obviously, this year he's 0-4, right? And then he's a defensive-minded head coach. He was a defensive coordinator for the Seahawks before getting hired as the Atlanta Falcons head coach. This man has never had a decent defense since at least the Super Bowl season. They weren't great, but they were, like, decent, right? Since then, they're, like, 29th in points, 28th in yards, 23rd in points, 20th in yards, and this year, 32nd in points, 31st in yards.
It's so unbelievable because when you look at that offense on paper, Calvin Ridley,
Julio
Jones, Todd Gurley now, Russell Gage, like it should be so much better.
And they're putting up points. It's not like the
offense is struggling. And they're putting up points too, and they still lose.
It's pathetic. It's honestly like, and the thing is like, it makes it even worse when they've blown so many double-digit leads.
Oh my God, man.
It just makes it even more pathetic. And like, I feel for the Falcons fans because like 2 years ago you were in the Super Bowl, or like 3 years ago, four, whatever. But like, they just fallen off so hard. They become the new Browns.
I agree. It's them and the Jets. It's really bad.
Yeah, those are the two coaches that I see getting fired next, though. At least by the end of the season. Other coaches around the league? Trying to think of other ones. None really come to mind.
Yeah, me either.
But now we're going to talk about the games from week 4 that stood out. So we're going to be talking about the Cowboys versus the Browns, right? And obviously, the reason I want to talk about this one, not because the Cowboys are clowns, which is a given. You know, we all
they
go
are
into season.
Definitely no, clowns.
Right?
America's team.
America's team. America's team that hasn't won a playoff game in like forever. Or like not a playoff game, but they haven't been to the NFC Championship in forever. But that's for another day, right? So now we're going to talk about the Browns. 3-game winning streak. Do you think they have what it takes to make the playoffs this year?
I think they possibly could make the wild card, but I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a Steelers fanboy, and I mean, I'm pretty sure the Ravens are going to win a division, and Steelers or Browns could, it's going to be a tough fight for that wild card.
I mean, like going into the season, like I was saying that, like, I thought 3 teams from the AFC North were going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I had the Browns making the playoffs. Obviously, after week 1, took a step back, right? You know, I got slapped by the Ravens. I was like, damn.
Bro, any team that gets slapped by the Ravens, like, they just look bad, but it's the Ravens. Like, they're good in the regular season, then they probably choke in the postseason, like they've done the past 2 years. So.
Bro, come on, dude. I agree with you 100%. We all know it, but we don't have to go there. You don't have to say it. But no, I think, like, there's a big upgrade in the coaching, obviously, from this year to last year for the Browns.
Oh, no, for sure, man. Freddie Kitchens
was lost.
Yeah, that was.
He was lost in the sauce, bro. He got too much sauce after that one season that he was offensive coordinator, and then he got lost. Right? Yeah. Stefanski, though, he's running the offense perfectly, right? And, like, the way to do it, because obviously we all know Baker Mayfield. He had a great rookie season, mm-hmm. right? Last season, kind of a bust.
Former Heisman.
This year, what they're doing is they're establishing the run, and then they're passing out of that. Because obviously that helps, because, like, once you have a good running game, and they do have a really good running game. They have
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
They have two guys that, like, if they were starting running backs on their own, they would be probably top 10 running backs. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kareem Hunt, when he's on the Chiefs, was, like, pretty much unstoppable.
And now he's actually doing it. Bro, he's been, right now, he's ranked number 8 in fantasy.
Yeah, and even, like, farther than that, you go, like, this weekend, they had 300 rushing yards on the Cowboys, right? And that's, like, enough for, like,
again, it's the Cowboys. 10 games.
It's a terrible defense.
I have to emphasize that. America's team.
America's team. But then you have Baker Mayfield. He threw 165 yards. 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, no picks. He puts up decent numbers.
Yeah, he's just doing what he needs to do. He doesn't really need to. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, he gets the job done.
For sure. Facts.
This guy's pretty much running the team like if this guy's Kirk Cousins. And that's pretty much around the same thing. They're pretty much in the same tier. Even though Kirk Cousins hasn't looked great this year. He looked better this last 2 weeks. But
yeah, but the second week was just tragic. Thank God I had him on the bench. But he had like negative points. How is that even possible?
Bro, because he's a god. There's none like him. None
that guy better. Dropped him.
And then obviously the Browns are also getting Odell involved a lot, which wasn't happening last year.
When Landry threw a lob to him,
that was a perfect throw by Landry. That was a great play.
The LSU connection.
The rush that OBJ had, that shit was crazy. He literally just like said it.
I think this was his best game,
bro. He pointed at every cowboy on that field. He's like, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. On that run. He had enough time.
He is better than them.
He literally outran every single person on that field. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know, Max, like, you know, he's a little out there when he says that OBJ is like the most talented receiver to ever play in the NFL. But you know,
God,
that play?
Yeah, Max Kellerman, a genius for sure.
So, yeah. So the next game I want to talk about is the Bills versus the Raiders. Right? And obviously, this is because my pick for the MVP going into the season. Right? Josh Allen had another great game. He's doing nasty this season. And obviously, he's competing for the MVP with Russell Wilson. And now Aaron Rodgers, I think, has taken a step up. So who's your leader for MVP this season?
MVP, I had to say, is Russell Wilson. The man has been playing amazing. Seahawks are 4-0. He leads the league in QB rating while ranking second with a 76.7% completion rate. And before this week, he had 14 touchdown passes, which are the most through the first 3 weeks in NFL history. And currently, he has 16 touchdown passes after playing Miami. And they're always, Seahawks, in my opinion, are one of the best teams in the NFL currently.
They got no pass defense. Get out of here. Not better than one of those teams.
Right now, Jamal Adams, man.
Oh, my God.
Bro.
Trash. No, I'm joking. He's nasty. I love Jamal Adams.
Thank God he left the Jets. Another sorry franchise.
I mean, you know me. I'm a 49ers fan. I can't support the Seahawks, right?
No. Understandable.
But I do like DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf's becoming one of my favorite players in the NFL. He's funny, and he's like such a god, like on the field. Like,
you gotta lock it, man. He's something else.
When you see DK Metcalf on the field, it looks like he's playing with like little kids. That's how big this man is. Like, you saw him next to like Xavier Howard this weekend. It's ridiculous,
bro. You saw his NFL Combine, man. Bench press 225 for like 20 plus reps. All right,
we don't gotta talk about my. We don't gotta talk about my warm up. All right, not a
warm up.
My warm up.
He's a ripped receiver.
Yeah, he's a god.
And crazy.
But I'd have to disagree with you on this, you know? I'm going Josh Allen. My boy Joshy is coming out there. He's putting on a show for everyone. 12 touchdowns, one pick. He has 1,326 yards. So he has a little bit more than Russell Wilson. And I don't know, man. This man is just doing it a different way. And, like, when you look at the trend of NFL MVPs in recent years, right? It was Mahomes in his second year, right? Then you got Lamar Jackson in his second year. Josh Allen would be in his third year. So I think the only person that can break that mold would either be Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I like this trend,
that's
though.
That's true. No, but look, here's a fun fact. The past players to win MVP were quarterback in 9 out of the 10 seasons from 2010 to 2019. Besides Adrian Peterson winning MVP as running back in 2012 with the Minnesota
Vikings. Yeah, you have to have like a super special season for you to win MVP.
He had over
MVP.
2,000 yards.
Yeah, 2,000 yards rushing. That doesn't happen every year. So that's why, like, in order for you to win an MVP award as, like, someone other than a quarterback, like, you have to have, like, a super special year. Like, I think McCaffrey might have gotten, if it was any other year other than Lamar Jackson popping off like he did last year.
No, last year, amazing, man.
No, yeah, he did great. But McCaffrey, like, if it was any other year, he probably would have gotten a couple votes. I don't think he would have won, but for having, like, the season he did and, like, dominating how he did.
For sure, man.
Probably would have gotten a couple 100%
votes. 100% agree.
But I just love Josh Allen. And just watching him play, I think the Bills, like, what the difference is going to come down to, because I think they're both probably going to end up with similar, like, touchdown numbers, because mm-hmm. they're both, like, lighting it up right now. But I think the Bills are going to be a little bit better of a team than the Seahawks, just because they're a better overall team. The Bills' defense is obviously better than the Seahawks. The Seahawks' pass defense is, like, trash.
If the Dolphins... It's still early, man. You know, only been 4 weeks.
It's a quarter of the season, though. Yeah, I know. But the pass defense for the Seahawks, there's nothing for them to do there.
Yeah, I know.
But if the Dolphins had a little bit better of a quarterback this weekend, we would have won that game. It was BS. I don't know if you watched it.
No, I watched, like, half of it.
But there's no way, like, playing against a team like the Seahawks, that you can just go and settle for field goals on five straight drives.
Shit happens, man.
Shit happens. Yeah, exactly. So that's why the Dolphins aren't in conversation for anything right now. Well, again, I say, we're going to talk about the Dolphins a little bit later.
All right.
All right. So next we got, I'm going to talk about two games, but lump them into one topic here. So it'll be the Chargers versus the Buccaneers and the Bengals versus the Jaguars. Both of these, both the Chargers and the Bengals have really good rookie quarterbacks. Which one of them do you think is the most impressive thus far this season?
In my opinion, I'm going to say Joe Burrow, Jerry's boy. And he looked more impressive in that game than Herbert, man. He's leading one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're known for being one of the worst teams. And they got their first win of the season. I didn't think they'd get their first dub this early, but shit happens. He threw for 25 completions for 300 yards. He's the first rookie in NFL history with 300 yards in three straight games. And he got the game ball for the win.
Yeah, but it's going right back into the ball bag.
Yeah, going back in the ball.
What a guy. But no, for me, like, first of all, I just got to, like, preface, like, what I'm going to say by starting with this. And it's just, like, both of these guys have been nasty this season.
No, for sure.
And, like, no one's ever flipped on a stance harder than I have on Herbert. Herbert has been super impressive throughout these first 2 weeks. I thought he was going to be a huge bust. But I personally think the Chargers have been, like, the perfect situation for him. And that's why I think he's been more impressive. Right? And he's throwing, like, this past week when he was playing against the Buccaneers, this man kept up with Tom Brady. That's true. He threw three touchdowns, one pick, and I don't know if you saw it. Like, he had a bomb to somebody. I don't even know. It was a no-name receiver. No, it was, like, a perfect pass.
I did see it, though, yeah.
Yeah. And then also, like, another thing that helps the Buccaneers in this game was that, like, Anthony Lynn and, like, you know, his genius offensive mind decided to run the ball with, like, a minute left before halftime instead of just taking a knee. Or it wasn't even a minute. I think it was, like, really close. They should have just taken a knee, and then the running back fumbled like 9 yards away from the touchdown. So the Bucs just came onto the field and scored. So that you can't really blame Justin Herbert for that, but I think he's just been really impressive. I mean, obviously, he surpassed expectations for me.
Yeah, but
he
was going against the GOAT, man. I'll give him props, though.
Yeah, and they both put up really good numbers. Joe Burrow has 6 touchdowns, 2 picks, and then Justin Herbert has 5 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah, he had 290 yards that game.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Joe Burrow is just like, the Bengals are just such a, like, a sorry franchise.
They've been a sorry franchise.
Yeah, I know. So, like, if they just need to fix the defense. And, like, they'll probably be winning, like, some serious games, like, in the future. If they can just make some changes on defense, because the defense is garbage. The offensive line is garbage. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Bengals, the first thing you got to do is address the problems on the offensive line. Because Joe Burrow is not going to last the full season if he keeps getting hit the way he did. Like, this weekend and the weekend against the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that man looked like he fucking got hit by a train. They almost took his head off of his body.
Yeah, that would have been tragic. Yeah. Jerry would have cried, for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, we got that LSU pride on this podcast, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, so the next thing we got to talk about is Vikings versus Texans. I know you're a big supporter of the Texans because of Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, man, that is my QB. If I were ever get a Houston jersey, it would definitely be him.
And like we mentioned earlier, they just fired Bill O'Brien. Do you think they're going to bounce back?
The Lords. And I think they can. I think they're going to have a good chance to bounce back. I mean, like, their next three games for the Texans, it's Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Green Bay. I think those are two possible wins. Green Bay is just a powerhouse right now, so I don't really see them winning that game. But Jacksonville and Tennessee, I think they have a good chance to win those games.
Yeah. Okay, I think there is a chance they bounce back, but, like, okay, first of all, I think there's only one winnable game there, just because, I mean, it depends.
What, Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's a winnable game for sure. I think I'll pick them to win that game, but against the Titans are just a really good overall team. But who knows? I mean, like, what I'm going to mention now is just that sometimes when teams fire their head coach, they just rally behind the interim head coach. Yeah. You see this happen a lot. With the Dolphins, it happened a couple years ago when they fired Joe Philbin.
Yeah.
And then they got they upgraded, I think he was their tight ends coach, Dan Campbell, to be the head coach.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And, like, I love that guy. Like, that guy is, like, a savage. I think he works for the Saints now. But they ended up going 5-7, which obviously doesn't sound great, but, like, the team was trash. Right,
yeah, it's an improvement, man.
And like every game that they were in, like with him as the head coach, they were competitive, and you saw them super excited to play for him. So sometimes mm-hmm. they just like get along better, and he can relate to them better. Because a lot of times when they upgrade a head coach from somewhere, it's all those players like end up liking him. Mm-hmm. And then the more like notable one that was more recent was Greg Williams on the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
When he became the interim head coach of the Browns, Baker's rookie year, he ended up going 5-3.
Oh wow.
Just pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And like, especially since it was on the Browns, and obviously that's when Baker looked his best. So sometimes that happens, and I think that could happen behind Romeo Crennel. He has head coaching experience, and obviously, like, I'm sure the defensive players in the Texans like him, or else they wouldn't have made this move.
Yeah.
So I'm holding out hope for that. And obviously the Texans have Deshaun Watson.
The go.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson's nasty. I love Deshaun Watson. He has 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in the season, which just doesn't sound great. But like, what they need is just for the receivers to be a little bit more consistent. Right, and I already touched on this with Will Fuller, but like I don't fucking know. Like they just need to do something. It's just
Watson too, man. He needs to run the ball more. Like he's such an like he's like if not what you have Lamar Jackson as like the best QB,
best running QB probably. Yeah,
best running QB. I think Deshaun Watson's a good second, man. He only has 31 rushing yards in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
He should have way more. It's unbelievable.
The thing with him is like I don't really think he's like a rusher. Like you look at Lamar Jackson, like. If he did have to play running back, like they might get away with it, right?
Yeah.
But like Deshaun Watson's a little bit more like Mahomes, and the meaning that like he's more of a scrambler. So like when the pocket like fucking breaks around him, which happens all the time on the Texans, right? Then he'll go find some yards. And like the thing with the Texans is, I honestly don't know. They went through 3 really tough games to start. Like they're
exactly their schedule. Like their first 4 games were not easy at all. Like,
yeah, and like the Vikings this week were 0-3 going into this week, but
mm-hmm.
we all know the Vikings are a little bit better than they played the first 3 weeks, and they had to make some adjustments because they lost Kevin Stefanski, which is a big part. That's mm-hmm. their offensive coordinator,
and also Thielen, he's getting back into shape too, man. He went for eight receptions, he had 114 yards, touchdown, and Dalvin Cook was cooking the Texans defense.
He was. And the thing is also Justin Jefferson. You got to think Kirk Cousins spent, what, I think last year was his second year in Minnesota. So he's played 2 years with Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs is a really good receiver, and we're seeing that now that he's in the Bills. Man. He's beautiful. Popping off. So he has to get used to playing with Justin Jefferson, who's also like pretty good young star that we're seeing now.
I'm telling you, bro, these rookie receivers, they don't come to play.
They're nasty. So, like, I do think they'll bounce back. And, like, I think they're going to win this weekend. But the next 2 games, if you're a Texas fan, hold on.
Yeah, we'll see. Thank God I'm just not born in Houston, man. I like Deshaun Watson. That's like literally about it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the fantasy league knows that you like Deshaun Watson.
He's my guy, man.
Drafted him before Mahomes.
I mean, shit, man. He had a couple good games last year.
Yeah. He is nasty. I love Deshaun Watson, too. All right. So the next game we're going to talk about, Patriots versus Chiefs. Right? Obviously, our 2 esteemed co-hosts were at this game.
Okay. Right? Shout out to Nick and Jerry.
A lot of people thought this game was a little bit surprising because, like, the Chiefs didn't really score that much. They were held in check, but they obviously still won.
That so, Kansas City defense, man.
Yeah, so what are your takeaways from this game?
Their defense has, like, improved so much, man. Like, that pick 6 by Honey Badger was beautiful to watch. Like, I was watching that game live, and when I watched it, I'm like, holy shit.
It sucks because, like, for Stidham, like, it wasn't even a bad throw. It just completely went through Edelman's hands. But, yeah, that was a really good play. That changed the momentum of the game.
What's their QB for the Patriots?
Jared Stidham. Stidham, and the one that started the game was Hoyer. Hoyer got benched because he was playing pretty garbage, not going to lie.
God. Wasn't he a former Texan, too?
Yeah, he was. He's like another Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's played for a bunch of teams.
Oh, damn, man. That sucks. Yeah.
Like, you want to know a fun stat about this, though?
Tell me.
The Patriots are the only team to hold the Chiefs without a touchdown in the first half since Mahomes took over. And it's happened 3 times. It happened in Week 6 in 2018, and then the Chiefs ended up winning that game. It happened in the AFC Championship of that same year, 2018. And then Mahomes obviously came back, and then he almost won the game. And then it happened last night. So, like, I just think, like, the Chiefs, like, I mean, not the Chiefs. The Patriots just have the Chiefs' number. And, like, they're just, like, their kryptonite. And Bill Belichick obviously knows how to defend Mahomes. And if I'm being honest, in the playoffs, if the Patriots have Cam Newton...
Yeah, I think they have a good chance.
They have a good chance of beating the Chiefs.
But at least I know in that division, what is it, AFC East?
The AFC West.
Oh, but, like, with the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots. Yeah, the AFC East.
Yeah, AFC East, I think the Bills got that division, and Patriots can be a second.
I think the Patriots can be the playoffs because they played a lot better than anyone has thought with Cam Newton. Cam Newton just looks like
a savage. I'm surprised, man. Cam Newton, like, I mean, besides getting, like, COVID this week. Like,
yeah, hopefully he's able to come back. Yeah,
I hope he's doing good. But, I mean, if he was in this game, it might have been a different story, man. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks for everyone because, like, it would have been a way more exciting game if Cam Newton was there. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I was telling Nick, I'm like, damn, bro, you're going to watch Mahomes and Newton play. Like, that's going to be so interesting to watch. Yeah,
Cam Newton's definitely been, like, one of the, like, more exciting players to watch. I saw him against the Dolphins. He was destroying us. And then, like, the second week he came back and, like, he was beating us rushing. And the second week he came back and just completely destroyed Seattle with his arm and came within one play.
But Seattle still got the dub.
Bro, get out of here. Don't say we when we refer to Seattle. Not in this podcast.
I always like Seattle, man. They're cool.
Not on this platform. All right. So now he came up with his top 10 teams after week 4.
All
right. Let's see what we got.
All right. I'm going to go from lowest to highest. For number 10, I got the Los Angeles Rams. Their record is 3-1. The only thing I would say, man, like they barely won against the Giants. And Giants are another, like, sorry-ass team. Should have been an easy dub. And their ground, like, running game was, like, just tragic, man. Darrell Henderson, I had him in my lineup, and he let me down with just 8 carries for 22 yards and 1 reception for 16 yards. But yeah, he popped off the previous week against a tougher Buffalo defense where he had 20 carries for 114 yards and a touchdown. But I gotta admit, the Rams are doing a lot better this year. It's giving me, like, that 2018 vision, bro. You never know.
Yeah, I really like the Rams this year. Obviously, like, they have Jalen Ramsey. I love Jalen Ramsey. Oh,
yes, bro. Jalen Ramsey.
That was the cleanest tackle I've ever seen in my life. That tackle
to Golden Tate was beautiful.
And then after the game, what he did to Golden Tate.
Oh, yeah, they were punching each other.
But, no, yeah. I just think, like the Rams just come out a lot better than anyone thought. And, like, just, like, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, like, have completely, like, made that defense a formidable defense. I didn't think only 2 players could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they have better players all around. But, like, I don't know. They're looking like a really good team. Their offense looks like 2018, like what you said before.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has a game where, like, they play it tough when they don't really have to. Like, they did against the Giants.
Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Elite receivers, bro.
Elite receivers. And last week, they almost beat the Bills. Well, the Bills are pretty much unstoppable this year.
True.
So that's a really underrated team. Let's see what you got next.
All right. At number 9, I got the New Orleans Saints. Their record, they're 2-2. But the Saints, they're missing half their team pretty much. Like, half of them got shot on the field, you know, the insider. They started out the game rough, but then once they started giving the ball to Kamara and Latavius Murray, it was just like the game changer, bro. Murray had 2 touchdowns. Kamara had a touchdown. And Emmanuel Sanders, he's been improving the past 2 games way more. Like, he's now treated the new number one receiver in Michael Thomas's absence. And I think Michael Thomas, he's going to be coming back soon, if I'm not wrong.
He should. He was almost came back this last week, and now he's probably going to come back this week.
Yeah, so once Michael Thomas comes back, man, they'll probably rise up in my rankings.
Yeah, that offense is, like, prone to get a little bit better. Because the thing with Drew, like, the first couple of weeks, I thought Drew Brees struggled a little bit without Michael Thomas. Because, like, he's never played with Emmanuel Sanders besides his last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So he needed to establish some rapport. And obviously that got better, like, his last couple of weeks. Because that's, like, I think 2, Emmanuel Sanders done pretty good. So I think, yeah, putting the Saints at 9 is pretty respectable considering the fact that they're, like, like the 49ers, except the 49ers, I think, got hit a lot harder than the Saints have.
Yeah, the 49ers are... That's even...
Decimated.
They got decimated. See you next year.
Kamara's playing, like, the best running back in the NFL for being honest.
He's number one in fantasy. That's number one running back. I mean, but... Yeah, man, he pops off in every game, bro. It's amazing. And for Jerry wishing on him and for bad health, fuck you. All right. At number 8, I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their record, they're 3-1. Tom Brady, he's finding his rhythm with the receivers, with Evans, now Miller. I don't even know who Miller was before, but Miller.
Scotty Miller.
And once Godwin returns, man, that offense is going to look nasty. And then you got Fournette. Once he comes back from injury, Gronk, surprisingly, I was not expecting it. He's actually...
he's popping off. Those tight ends are all popping off.
Yeah, he popped off that game, but it didn't...
they lost O.J. Howard.
Yeah, they lost O.J. Howard.
Which sucks, because honestly, he's probably the best one out of all three. Obviously, Gronk's like an all-time great, but he's older.
Yeah, Gronk's just older, man. He still needs to, like... He needs to get back in that football shape that...
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight, too. So, I think he's going to bounce back. But, like, I think this might be the first time that the Buccaneers have made it onto, like, a top 10 list on this podcast. So, like...
Really?
Damn, yeah, so I think so.
Wow.
Gave him up, because they've been popping off these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Tom Brady, he had five touchdowns.
And he bounced back from a pick six. He almost looked like Tom Winston out there, if we're being honest. He bounced back. So, yeah, I think the Bucs are a really good team. I just think I need to see them do it against a little bit better competition. Because I think the Chargers are probably the best team they've played so far.
No, for sure.
Besides the Saints, because they got shredded by the Saints week one.
But that was a great game.
Yeah, it was a really exciting game. Like we said earlier, Justin Herbert held up with them, but they were able to hold them off. And the defense looks really good.
If Brady can continue this performance, can get better. All right, and number seven, I got the Tennessee Titans. They're 3-0. Only thing I would say is that, I mean, they had a bye week, but they're still undefeated. And the COVID outbreak really kind of like fucked up everyone. But players such as Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Brown, like, it's just elite, man.
Yeah,
you don't play with those guys.
They need A.J. Brown to get healthy. But yeah, Tannehill is playing really good this year. Mm-hmm. And like, as a Dolphins fan, I love to see him succeed.
Exactly. You always want to see him succeed.
Yeah, exactly. Because we all know, like, okay, as a Dolphins fan, like, when we watched the games, I always knew he wasn't the problem here. He just wasn't the answer. And, like, the situation for him in Tennessee is perfect.
Two a time.
Almost. But the situation for him in Tennessee is perfect because all he has to do is hand the ball off. And, like, having a running back like Derrick Henry, who's just, like, so explosive and whatever.
Monster, man.
Great big plays.
Monster.
He's a savage. He's, like, what, 6'3", and he's a running back? That's just crazy. No one's going to bring him down.
Yeah, I'd be afraid just to get, like, near him, but, like, nonetheless to tackle him.
And then Tennessee also surrounded him with really good receivers. Corey Davis and A.J. Brown are both first-round talents.
Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith is a really good tight end. You know, we got to trade for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Jacobs. My God.
But, yeah, I think the Titans are a really good team. The thing with them, though, is I think they're relying a little bit too much on Steven Gostkowski.
Yeah.
I think they need to start scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, was it the first game he was in? He missed so many.
He's bounced back since then. I think he's
he bounced back, but just that first week was tragic.
Brutal. Yeah, they would have destroyed the Broncos if he was making all his kicks.
But he's bounced back. All right, at number six, I got the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right.
Record 3-0.
I can accept that.
I mean, they also had a bye week like Tennessee, but they're undefeated. They're first in the AFC North over the Ravens. And it's just such a promising team on both the offensive side with Juju, Connor, Chase Claypool, rookie receiver. You have Deontay Johnson, Washington, Ebron. Like, it's just, it could be a work of art. And then you got the defensive side with Dupree, TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Devin Bush, Edmonds, and Hayden, and like so much more, bro. The potential is there.
They're good. And like, this is why, like, I really wanted to see that Steelers Titans game this weekend.
Because they're both
3-0, and like, we get to see which one's like a real 3-0 team. Like, exactly. we found that the Bears this weekend were not an actual 3-1 team. I mean, 3-0 team.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see like how serious the Steelers are, and like, I want to see more of Big Ben and just see like,
if he
can handle being on pressure, because like, that first game where he got taken down by the Giants and like he got up and he was a little shaky.
He has to find his rhythm again. I mean, he pretty much missed all of like last season basically, but once he finds his rhythm, it's over in the AFC North.
Right now, they won't be better than the sixth.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that defense is nasty though, and they're gonna go 4-0 this week.
Yeah, I hope so, man. All right, at number five, I hate saying this team, but I got the Baltimore Ravens. Over the Steelers, I know. Sorry, Jerry. But I'm pretty sure he also ranked the Ravens higher than the Steelers.
He did.
Their record, they're 3-1. The Ravens, they just destroyed the Washington football team. That's not a surprise.
A really good football team.
Yeah, they're just so good. Like their name is just so amazing. But Lamar Jackson, man, he's just such an like offensive threat. And the weapons such as like Andrews and Brown, like they can pick apart defenses like so slowly. And just Jackson, he's so unpredictable to read for defenses. And he's basically, you know, he is their franchise QB. But without him, man, the Ravens, like, The whole script would be flipped without him.
Yeah, the thing with Lamar Jackson is like it's really hard to defend him. But if you're able to get a lead on him, he's not like Mahomes. He's not going to come back. That's the one thing I have against the Ravens. But the truth is they're built for the regular season.
Yeah, that I'm telling you, bro. They do good in the regular season. But, I mean, as we've seen the past two postseasons, previous postseasons, they just don't come through, man.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see them go like 14-2 and like lose in the playoffs. Lose
pretty much.
Pretty early. I don't know about first round, but maybe second round. Like
yeah. Probably.
He might get his first playoff win this year. But yeah, I mean, I can't really argue with that. They've looked pretty dominant for the most part, besides when they play the Chiefs.
I mean, and I like Lamar Jackson too, man. He's from Florida. You know, he's repping the 305. But just let's see if he can pull it off in the postseason again, if they make it. All right, and number four, I got the Buffalo Bills. The record is 4-0. And Josh Allen as your pick for MVP. He's exactly, I think, in my opinion, what Buffalo needs. And he is proving just that. Mans is a rising star in the league. They're undefeated. And just that lob to Stephon Diggs, man. That's something with the game with the Raiders, in my opinion.
God, bro. When Stephon Diggs caught the ball and just stared down the ear. He mossed him, bro. Sunned him.
Yeah, and then also Michael Beasley. That touchdown.
Cole Beasley.
Oh my God, yo.
Yeah.
All right, Cole Beasley. But yeah, that touchdown, man. He literally flew in the air, and he still made it.
Yeah, the thing with Josh Allen, bro, like this man is literally like the talent of Mahomes with like so many brain farts. If he can just like minimize the brain farts, which he has done this season so far, like it's the year, Bills right? would be a really third year. Yeah, if he's able to just minimize those brain farts and just like stay and like stick to the game plan and do what he does best, which is make plays, right? Like the Bills are gonna be a really good team.
Yeah, man, I agree, man. But all right, to move on at number top three, we got the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, I did not expect this. Let's really? Go. Yeah, I think you put Packers at three.
No, you'll see. Their record is 4-0. And like I said earlier, as we were talking, just Russell motherfucking Wilson. This guy is insane. He throws for 360 yards and tied Peyton Manning for the most passing scores thrown through the first four games of the season. And he currently has 16 touchdown passes. And his MVP campaign, man, it's on the way.
Josh Allen got him.
It's going to be a tight race between him and Josh Allen, man. But just Russell Wilson. In his 9 years in the league, I think this is his time to shine. And he's proving just that. Like he deserves it, in my opinion.
He's never got an MVP vote, so that's why I think they're gonna get like the sympathy of him, and they're just gonna give him the MVP.
He's gonna prove it,
because everyone knows he is a really good quarterback in the NFL. I have to admit that.
he's the number one quarterback too in fantasy as well.
So yeah. So that doesn't really. The thing that surprised me was I thought you'd have the Packers at three.
No.
But for the Seahawks, the only thing that like.
It's just defense, man. It's kind of like...
Their run defense is pretty good, but their pass defense is complete trash.
Yeah, I mean, they got to work on that. It'd be much higher if it was better.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Chris Carson, the guy's a beast.
Chris Carson's a savage.
It's just, he had another injury scare. They had to put him in concussion protocol during the halftime. And, I mean, at the time, since I was going against Jerry and he had Carson, I'm like, yes, like, fuck Carson. And then he came back and, he was fine, though. So, I mean... Good that he was fine, but at the same time, it's like when you're in fantasy, bro. Like you should always
have Chris Carson in one league. Love
you do?
Yeah, he puts up good points. I love Chris Carson.
I'll give him that. He does. Yeah. And bro, you got Lockett, Metcalf. Now Moore was showing up. He tied Lockett in targets for that game, and was second in receiving yards to Metcalf. So
yeah, it's the second week in a row where he has a really big play. He had a really big touchdown in the last week. I forgot who they played, but. Was it the Cowboys? Yeah, it was the Cowboys.
Last week?
Yeah, they played the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys.
Yeah, he had a really good touchdown against the Cowboys. So he's establishing himself as a really good third receiver and a third option for.
Yeah, third option.
And I think DK Metcalf is passing Tyler Lockett to be the number one.
And bro, once they have Josh Gordon there, different story.
Different story. All right, so let's go into the number two.
All right, number two, I got the Green Bay Packers. The record is 4-0. Packers, they have a great squad. Aaron Rodgers. What do I got to say? He's a bad man. Weapons such as Jones, Williams, Tanyan had three touchdowns.
Yeah, bro. I don't even know who the hell that guy is.
I didn't even know who he was. And he had three touchdowns.
He dominated this week.
I'm telling you. And they were missing like two of their best receivers, Adams and who's these?
And Lazard.
Lazard. He had a core surgery, if I'm correct.
Yeah, 1 week after he popped off and had like the best game of his career.
It's a shame, man. But I'm telling you, and they still won. Like that.
Yeah, they didn't win. They destroyed them for the most part. Like, the Falcons almost scored, but Calvin really dropped the touchdown. But it's still like it was pretty much domination like the entire game, man.
And once those two guys come back, I mean, I think Adams is most likely coming back sooner. I think probably this week or the following week.
Yeah, hopefully. He said he was good to go on Sunday, but the doctor said no.
Yeah, so. Man. I love that guy. I have him. He's my number one receiver, man. And he popped off not too long ago. So
week one, 40 points.
40 points, man. But I think they could possibly win the NFC. But if not, with Seattle, that's going to be a tight race in the NFC.
I think Aaron Rodgers looks really comfortable in that offense. And it would not surprise me if they won the NFC this year. Because last year, obviously, he was adjusting to a new offense. And, like, I don't know. They just had a lot of holes last year.
This year,
just looked like a better team.
Who's the quarterback that the Packers drafted?
Jordan Love.
I think that like gave him like a wake up call. He was like, "Bro,
yeah,
the fuck, man! Like, you think I'm gonna put this rookie over me?"
I don't know if you've seen him like on the Pat McAfee show because Aaron Rodgers goes on every Tuesday.
No, I haven't seen it.
But he said like they're like, "Oh, like why are you playing like this? Why are you playing like out of your mind?" Mm-hmm. He's like, "I found a new love in life and new love for the game." And I was like, "Bro, that's a man who's coming here to fuck shit
it's
up."
It's a wake up call for him, and he's proving them just wrong. All right, number one. I don't think this should be no surprise. I got the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 4-0. And I mean, what do I even say about this team, bro? They're just
Until someone beats them, they're not moving for number one.
Number one, man. They're the reigning champs. They're undefeated. They have one of the best, if not the best, offensive squads in the league. Their defense has improved a lot more too. Mahomes is a god. Kelce, Hill, Edwards.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Pretty good. I have him on fantasy in my dad's league. I don't think he was worth the first round big so far.
Second round?
I got him in the first round. I got him in the first round. Josh
Jacobs. Oh, you're saying you picked him up in the first round?
Yeah. Okay. But he's a good rookie.
Yeah.
That offense just got to get going because it hasn't been as explosive as it's been in the past. But they're still winning games. They're still pulling everything out.
Hardman came back, got a touchdown.
Yeah. And he almost muffed a punt. You saw that, right?
That too, and bro, that pick six by Honey Badger, man. Yeah. It was alive. They're reigning champs from a region, and that is why.
This is a team that's like, it's proven in the past, so there's no reason not to put a number one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So now we're moving on to week five, right? We're going to predict all the games from week five. So now we're going to go Thursday night. We get started off with a Super Bowl throwback between Nick Foles and Tom Brady. Buccaneers versus Bears. Who you got?
I got the Bucs, man. Brady's just at this past game with the Chargers. Five touchdowns. Yeah. I think the Bucs are going to win that one.
Yeah, I think the Bucs are too. I think Nick Foles starts off 0-2 as a starter in Chicago.
Sad. And I like Nick Foles.
I don't like Nick Foles.
Okay, I understand. You're a Wentz fanboy.
Bro, I am a Wentz. All right? Every time he plays, I touch my... No.
Whoa.
All right. So now this is actually a really good game. Hopefully this one takes place because make sure the Titans are through COVID at least, hopefully. Bills versus Titans.
Bills.
I just think they're two pretty similar teams. They both have really good defenses. Their offenses are both pretty explosive. But I just think Josh Allen's better than Tannehill.
He's the better quarterback than Tannehill.
That's the one thing. I think when the Bills need someone to make a play, Josh Allen's gonna make that play.
You get Josh motherfucking Allen.
Get Joshy, bro. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've seen him, bro, but he's just such a likable guy.
Nah, he's just a strong arm.
But yeah. So now we got Jaguars versus Texans.
Like I said, Texans, man. I hope with this firing of Bill O'Brien, they just like to spark in their ass, let's fucking win this division. Yeah. Let's get these dubs.
The Jaguars haven't looked the same since week two. Yeah. They have not been as competitive.
They lost to the Dolphins, bro.
They lost to the Dolphins. They didn't lose. They got shredded by the Dolphins.
Shredded by the Dolphins.
So, yeah, I'm going with the Texans, too. Hopefully, Deshaun Watson can bounce back and get his first win this season.
Yes,
even
sir.
Though I'm going to be rooting for the Jaguars. Not because I'm a Jaguars fan. But it's because the Dolphins have the Texans number one pick. The first round pick.
Right. I know, but
we need that to be a top 10 pick. Let's go. We're building talent.
No, I feel you. I feel you, though.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on. Bengals versus Ravens. Should be a pretty easy game.
Is this even a question?
Joey B. Yeah, I'm going Ravens, too.
No, Ravens. Not even close. 100%. Yeah. Decimated.
All right. Panthers versus Falcons.
I got the Panthers, bro. Just the Falcons, the past 4 weeks, man, they're just not the same.
I'm going Falcons.
Really?
I'm going Falcons.
Really?
Let's go. Dan Quinn's trash, whatever. We agree on that. But that offense, disgusting. Unstoppable. I don't think the Panthers keep up with the Falcons offense.
No.
And the Panthers defense is complete trash.
Understandable.
The only team that didn't really beat them, like, because they just shredded them with points, was the Cardinals this week.
Yeah.
It was a pretty disappointing play game, in my opinion. But I think the Falcons, I think Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, hopefully he's back next week, because I know he left the game yesterday with an injury. But either way, they still have Russell Gage, who's a pretty good receiver. Like, and they have Calvin Ridley.
Like, I would say the Falcons too, man, but just these past 4 weeks, and like, they, like, it's just, it's not looking good.
Yeah, if they lose this week, he's for sure getting fired now.
He better get fired. Yeah, with that squad, you should be winning games, not being 0-4.
Yeah, in reality, like, their offense is pretty comparable to like the Chiefs and the Cowboys, if we're being honest. Like, in terms of the pieces and everything.
Agree. Facts.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on. Raiders versus Chiefs. I think this will be one of the most fun games to watch this weekend.
Really?
I think so.
Well, I got the Chiefs, man.
Yeah, me too. But I think it's going to be exciting. I think...
Is it being played in the Vegas Stadium?
No, it's being played in Kansas City.
Damn.
But yeah, I think Kansas City wins this game easily, probably. But hopefully Josh Jacobs is able to get going. He hasn't been able to get
Waller,
going.
And Darren Waller, bro. Those are... Like, those... Jacobs and Waller are, like, such, like... Like, they're so essential to the Raiders' offense. And
it's because... The receivers have gotten hurt. Henry Ruggs hasn't played a game in a while.
I mean, they have Renfro, but...
Yeah, Renfro, but, like, he's the only one guy.
He's a nasty route runner, man. Disgusting.
He is. I like him. He's like a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type guy.
That Josh Jacobs was saying that he had a Henry... What's this guy's name, the receiver?
Hunter Renfro?
Hunter, man. Hunter, I got the names mixed up. He had Renfro teach him, like, routes. I was like,
hopefully they need to get Josh. Like, it makes no sense to me why you don't just get Josh Jacobs involved in the pass game. He's like your biggest playmaker on offense besides probably Darren Waller, right? But like, they bring in a third down back when like this guy can obviously catch. It makes no sense.
I forgot to mention Jason Witten with a touchdown.
A threat. All right, guys.
He's a threat, man.
I don't know how the Chiefs are going to guard that man.
Yo, Kelsey, better watch out. He has competition. All
right, so now we got the easiest game of the week to choose: Cardinals versus Jets. We got.
Jets,
baby. J-E-T-S.
No,
right?
I'm kidding. Cardinals.
Cardinals easily. I think the Jets are going to go 0-16 this year.
I 100% agree.
And I think they're probably going to fuck up the first pick, and they're not going to draft Trevor Lawrence. Let's go.
You don't think they would?
What are you going to do? He's into the same thing as Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
He doesn't have any weapons. They should just trade it, if we're being honest. But they're not going to trade it. They're going to overdraft somebody, and he's going to end up being a bust.
And Sam Darnold goes to who knows
It's an
where.
Endless cycle for the Jets. This is just the way things go.
They should just disband that team. Like,
yeah, they should just put them in the CFL, the AFL, do something with them.
Maybe the XFL.
The XFL.
Maybe
they might not lose every game in the XFL. All right, next we got Eagles versus Steelers.
Steelers, man. Don't, like, you don't got to ask it's me easy. This, bro. It's Steelers.
Easy. Steelers. I love the Eagles because I love Carson Wentz, but, like, with four offensive linemen out, TJ Watt's going to have a field day. Poor Carson Wentz.
I'm hoping that offense, like, just feeds on the Eagles' defense.
Well, no, the Eagles' defense is decent, though.
No, they are, but it's just I think the Steelers' offense will prevail.
Yeah,
like,
I just think that Steelers' defense is going to destroy the Eagles. And Carson Wentz might have a really bad game. Playing with two practice squad receivers, with four offensive linemen out, like...
I'm telling you, bro, especially after this past bye week, I think everyone's going to be a little more rested, and it's going to come out, like, 100%.
Probably. Let's see, because the thing is also Carson Wentz did have a good week last week. He didn't have a great numbers game by any chance. But, like, he threw the game-winning touchdown pass. So, hopefully, he gains back
against
a little bit of
weakened
momentum.
49ers defense where half their team was gone.
It's still a good pass. Doesn't matter. That. On the money. And still, the NFC, reigning NFC champion. So, get out of here.
God.
Right?
Don't get me even starting that such pathetic-ass division.
What do you mean? The NFC West? The NFC West is probably the best division.
No, I'm no, not the West.
Oh, the NFC East.
East. Oof, the East.
The East is trash. Yeah.
Disgusting. Bro, the Bengals would be first in that division. You know how sad that is?
I think the Cowboys are going to end up being first in that division after this weekend. Let's see. Rams versus Washington.
Got
another
Rams.
NFC East team. Oh, God. Gonna lose. The Rams are going to win this league.
I got the Rams, man. Just the Washington football. Like, how can you root for such a team?
Like, how can you not root for a football team? I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
You're telling me your team isn't a football team, bro? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, my God. No, but the Rams are just going to... They got to do a run game a little more in Rome. They're going to incorporate it.
Stop putting fantasy like hopes.
I have
this.
To, man.
Into
like
your
I
just, analysis.
I have to.
No, I think the Rams are going to destroy the football team this week. It's not going to be close.
The football team. That's what we're going to call it. The All football right. team.
Now we're getting into a game which I think is the most interesting of the week for one reason: Dolphins versus 49ers.
Okay, who do you got?
Oh, I got the 49ers. Easy.
Really?
Right? I think especially if Jimmy G comes back, it's easy. But the thing is, okay, if the Dolphins lose this week. It's Tua time, baby.
That is so true. I mean, I got the Finns winning, bro. Like, I just, I'm a...
It depends. If Jimmy G plays,
Yeah, if he plays, it'll be a different story. Yeah. But like they have one Mullins and this other guy
and Bethard, but I call him Behard because it's spelled Behard.
What kind of name is that? Bethard, whatever. But yeah, bro, I got the Finns that game.
The Dolphins almost started 2-0 next week. They had a meeting about it already. Really? So if they lose this week, because Fitzpatrick, the thing with him is like, yeah, we haven't been winning games, and he hasn't even looked good. So it's like kind of like we're losing. Decent. No, he hasn't, bro. Last week he did terrible against the Seahawks. He did terrible against
the Bills. It's the Seahawks, man. Like
I still, the Seahawks don't have a good defense.
I know, but
we should have won.
That's true.
And then he did really bad against the Patriots. Like that one was a little bit understandable because that was a really good defense.
I mean, they have one of the best defenses in the league.
It might be Tua time if we lose this week. So I'm hoping that the 49ers are able to pull it off.
I want my Tua jersey now.
Yeah, I gotta get a Tua jersey too. My dad has one.
Really?
I got him one.
What the throwback one?
The throwback.
Oh, yeah, the throwback.
Throwbacks are fire. That's the one you have to get. That's the only red jersey Dolphins jersey to get.
I agree with him.
All right, now we got Giants versus Cowboys. Battle of the trash teams.
The shittiest teams.
I think it's easy.
I think the Cowboys, man. It's just...
Because the Cowboys have no defense, but against they have the Giants, offense. You don't have to play defense.
Yeah, exactly.
They play defense on themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's like preschool.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
If the Cowboys don't win that game...
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they don't win that game, then they should just trade away Dak Prescott, like, on the spot.
Oh, yeah, you hate him.
I don't hate him. I just think he's very overrated by some people. C19. You know,
like here we go. Time to mute.
All right. Broncos versus Patriots.
Patriots, bro. Just that Broncos.
Yeah, with or without Cam Newton, Patriots. Yeah,
just that Broncos. Like, I mean, overall, like, on both the offense and defense. Like,
well, actually, you know, I take back what I just said. What? I think they need Cam Newton because if Drew Lock comes back and plays for the Broncos, I do like Drew Lock. I think he's pretty good.
Really?
I think you can pull it off with Jerry Jeudy. If Noah Fant plays too. I mean, if there's no Noah Fant, then probably the Patriots are going to win either way.
Noah Fant is disgusting.
But yeah, I think that I'm picking the Patriots. But if Drew Lock plays and Cam Newton doesn't, I think there's a chance. Like a 2% chance, 3% chance. So it's small, but it's there. All right, Colts versus Browns.
Browns, man.
After 2-3-1 teams. You think the Browns are going to beat them?
Yeah, bro. I was watching like highlights of both games that they had. And just the Browns offense, man. Like
explosive.
They keep having OBJ like more involved. You have Juice Landry. I mean, Nick Chubb now, he's on...
IR.
He's on IR, but Kareem Hunt, bro.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, they have such an elite offense. But then also the Colts, too. I mean, Rivers is like Rivers. I don't really give a shit about Rivers. But, I mean, what, they have Pascal.
Pascal.
T.Y. Hilton, he had a nasty play. The past game.
He's good, but he's just had a pretty bad year, for being honest.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, bro, like, it's just, I think, I mean, he came off an injury like from last year, so I think it's very early to tell, but also a new quarterback as well. So, I mean, Rivers is more experienced, so hopefully they find like that rhythm, but honestly, I think the Browns got this game.
I'm going with the Browns too, for sure. Like, okay. I just think the Browns are a better team. Yeah. I like the Browns. Like I said, I picked them to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, pretty excited to see what the Browns could do. Hopefully they win this game. I think this is a big time for people to see like, oh shit, like the Browns are actually like making noise this year. Because obviously before they've been overhyped
overhyped.
They've either been overhyped or just trash.
I think they were.
So now I think they're just right.
Between them and the Cowboys last year, I think they were more overhyped.
Probably. Yeah. Well, the thing is also people were picking the Cowboys to make the Super Bowl. So that's one thing too.
Can't forget that. America's team.
Yeah. Next we got our Sunday night game. Sounded like a banger going into the season. Now it turns out not going to be a banger. Probably going to be a blowout. Vikings versus Seahawks.
Well, I got Seahawks, man. It's just Russell Wilson's just going to keep like flaming and
the Vikings secondary is trash. The Vikings secondary is trash. The Seahawks secondary is trash. Russell Wilson's better than Kirk Cousins. I go Russell Wilson.
That's facts.
Easy decision.
I mean, it's just the only thing that the Vikings really have is like Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen. Man,
well, their pass game is really good because they have Justin Jefferson, too.
Oh, and, yeah, Justin Jefferson.
So they have good weapons. They have a really good offense, in my opinion. It just took them a while to get adjusted with, like, all the new pieces, the offensive coordinator, stuff like that. Yeah, I just trust Russell Wilson more. Kirk Cousins is really bad in primetime games. I think he won, like, his first one against the Cowboys last season.
Really?
Yeah, so that's another thing.
That's interesting.
And then our Monday night game. We got two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time playing against each other.
Oh,
Justin Herbert versus Drew Brees.
Bro, he's had two good games. Relax, like. No, I'm joking. Slow off the roll. But I mean,
Chargers versus Saints. Who you got?
I got the Saints, bro.
Going Chargers.
Really?
Going Chargers.
If Thomas comes back this week, it's in like...
Okay, yeah. If Thomas comes back, yeah, I'll go to the Saints. But if there's no Michael Thomas available...
I still got them though, man. It's just they're even right. Without him, as Sanders becoming the number one receiver, they're looking a lot better. And Kamara. That's Kamara.
With the fate of the universe on the line.
Do not say that. Do not say that.
Who would you rather have? Drew Brees or Justin Herbert?
Drew Brees. Because
I got Herbert, baby.
My God. Here we go.
No, I'm joking. Obviously, Drew Brees is like a god. Like
he is,
he's a Hall of Famer. But I don't know. I think the Chargers are picking up momentum. I think they like Justin Herbert. He's done nasty.
No, obviously. For sure, man. He is their QB besides Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod. I think is how it's pronounced. They said last year. Tyrod. Yeah, in an interview.
Then why is there a Y?
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
Last year, in like an interview, like he said it or someone else said it, and they're like, oh yeah, it's pronounced Tyrod. We just never correct you guys. Okay. And I was like, what the hell?
Damn, I feel stupid.
It's just so funny.
No, I wonder how he's doing with after the whole fiasco.
Yeah, I know. That sucks for him. And like I've seen a lot of people say, like, oh, it's not fair that you lose your job to injury.
I mean, he wasn't Especially doing this.
It wasn't really his fault, but. The thing is, like, some people just step up to the plate, and like
Herbert has stepped
up to the plate. So I think the Chargers are gonna pull off with a win. I think they're a good team. Obviously, they have some holes, and obviously their defense is pretty hurt. But
Keenan Allen too, man.
I want to see how Justin Hunter Herbert
Henry,
performs.
The GOAT,
Hunter Henry. GOAT. I just want to see how they perform on the big stage, because like you never know with the young guys. Like it's his first Monday Night Football game, his first primetime game.
Yeah, man. I think those primetime games, like the first time you experience it, it's like a whole nother, like.
Or if you're Kirk Cousins, it's like the first 12 times you, you experience
bro. Right, he gets wrecked. Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. All right, so now we're going to be moving on to the NBA.
Woo!
Obviously, like we got Jared here. He's wearing a Eastern Conference Champions shirt.
Miami Heat, baby. Let's go.
Right. He just pulled off a huge upset in Game 3. Obviously, Game 4 is tonight while we're recording this. When you're listening to this, Game 4 already happened.
Yeah, right? That's true.
So, like, based off what you saw in Game 3, do you think the Heat have a chance to bounce back?
Yes. The Lakers are in trouble.
They're in trouble.
Telling you, man. It's just Butler, iconic triple-double performance. Man, it's had 40 points, 13 assists, and 11 rebounds. And here's a fun stat. Butler is the first player to outscore, to out-rebound, and out-assist LeBron James in a finals game.
Yeah,
and
insane.
This includes any of LeBron's teammates over the years as well. And he became the third player in the NBA history to record a 40-point triple-double in the NBA finals, the other two being LeBron with the Cavs in 2015 and Jerry West with the Lakers in 1969.
Yeah, it's
crazy
insane.
Stat.
And I think he's also like the only one to do it with no threes made. Not including Jerry West, because there were no threes.
Just dominating the paint, bro. And
Jimmy Butler came out like a god last game.
I'm telling you, bro.
Like he was everywhere on I think it was Sunday. He was everywhere Sunday night.
Yeah, it was Sunday night.
He was everywhere Sunday night, and obviously he did everything for his team. I saw a video on Twitter going around Twitter that Duncan Robinson was more important to the. To the Heat offense than Jimmy Butler.
No.
And like, yeah, you want to look at it from the basketball analysis point of view. I don't care. It's fucking bullshit. My eyes tell me Jimmy Butler was everywhere in the Heat for that night. He's also a leader for the team. And like his tone dictates what the rest of the team does. And I think like his play obviously scored 40 points and the greatest player of all time. Mm-hmm. Like that gave Tyler Herro a little bit of confidence. Because going into like the last couple of games of the series, it kind of looked like the moment was a little bit too big for Herro. He's only 20 years old. So like this is getting a little overwhelmed.
That could have been us.
I know.
We could have been in the NBA.
I could have been in the NBA finals, but I'm here talking to you. Can you imagine that?
Isn't that fucking sad?
Where did I go wrong? Jesus, why am I not 6 foot tall, bro? Come on.
I know, man. Just people got lucky, man.
Why am I not 5'6", if we're being honest? But I think the most important game of the series is tonight.
Yeah.
If the Lakers win, series over in 5. Yeah, when I predicted the series, I said it was either gonna be Lakers in 5 or Heat in 7.
I got Heat in 7, man. It's going to be a tough series. Especially, like, the first two games were rough, man, to watch. It was.
And obviously, we had a lot of injuries. Bam and Goran missed.
That too, man. It's just, like, when Bam and Goran got injured, I was so devastated. I'm like, no, man. Because, like, those guys, they're such essential players.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. And, like, especially for Goran. Like, Goran came and he was supposed to, like, compete for championships with Bosch. Mm-hmm. And he never really got to. So, now this is the first time he's really been competing in the playoffs.
And he was killing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Doing nasty. And then now... he's injured, bro. Sad to see.
They like someone was interviewing him or he was answering questions and they asked him. He's like, oh, I just don't want to be a liability on the court for them. I can't really do a lot. I felt so bad for him. Like you could just see like he really wants to play. And for Bam, I think Bam's hopefully like on the brisk of playing and like about to play. So I think
tonight, we have Olynyk.
Olynyk, bro. Oh my god. I'm not gonna lie. A lot of people say like game two, like yeah, he gives us good minutes.
He had 24 points, right?
Yeah, he did okay in game two, but like he just had some plays towards the end. It was, bro, every time he wanted to get under 10, he just does like some boneheaded plays. But like the last game, he did really good. Myers Leonard gave us good minutes. He got under Dwight Howard's skin. He should
be playing more, in my opinion, man. I think he's underrated.
I've seen some people say that like in a way the Heat match up better with the Lakers without Bam, right? And it sounds crazy, but like the reason they're saying that is because obviously the Lakers start Dwight Howard at the five, and Dwight Howard can't shoot threes, and he's really just a post defender. He can't really defend on the 3-point line or anything. So like bringing in Leonard and Olynyk, they're both 3-point shooters. So like you have to take Dwight Howard out of the paint, which obviously frees up someone.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think what they should do, if Bam's available to come back, obviously you don't sit Bam. You don't take Bam out of your rotation.
If you sit Bam, that's a that's big fried. Question mark.
And Spoelstra won't do that. But I think you start. You have to move one under the five. I think in the regular season, the starting lineup with Nunn and Leonard was like had the best offensive rating of any starting lineup in the NBA.
See, Nunn is another player, man. He needs to he's getting more game time and. I'm loving him, bro.
He didn't really have that many points last game, but they caught a bunch of BS fouls on him. That pick, bro, was fucking bullshit.
That block, was it the last game they did on Anthony Davis, or was it game two?
Yeah, I know. It was game two, I think.
Bro, that block on AD, man, and what he's... Kendrick Nunn is, what, 6'2"?
So, somewhere around there, yeah. He's a point guard.
And AD's like 7 feet, if not more?
Yeah, that was
a 8 inches?
I like, because the thing is with Nunn, like in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, like every time he went out there, he just looked super unmotivated. He looked like me when I'm doing like my schoolwork for online. Like, I just don't want to fucking be there. But like this round, like he's fucking looked like there's none better.
Yeah.
There's none better. You know what I mean?
I see what you did.
Nunn so horny.
I see what you did. I mean, Hero, Crowder, Robinson, and Olynyk, they all had double figures the past game.
I think that's another key. Like they need to get their shooters going.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, you just play the percentages. Like, they're going to start hitting shots one game. Duncan Robinson, obviously, we were second in the NBA in 3-point percentage this past season.
Who was first?
The Jazz. Jazz were first.
Jazz.
Yeah, so the 3-point is a big part of our game. But if we can get Duncan Robinson going, we can get a 20-point performance from him. Maybe Hero can get another 20 points. And Jay Crowder can just give us like a solid 15.
Bro, we got shooters, man. Chance. We got shooters.
I trust our shooters more than we trust the Lakers shooters. Who are you going to bet on? Duncan Robinson or Danny Green? Come on.
Duncan Robinson.
KCP. Come on.
Oh, my God. No, J.R. Smith. Bro, you know he made a three the last game?
Don't bring the GOAT into this conversation.
He made a fucking three the last game, bro.
Bro, don't bring the GOAT into this conversation, bro. I was talking about the supporting cast.
Bro, he's so funny, man. Like,
bro, I love that. It's like, oh, when did they trade for Kawhi Leonard?
Bro, that picture is so funny because then it's like a picture of like Myers Leonard jersey, and then you just see J.R. Smith with like the closed eyes, like, wait, when do we have Kawhi?
When did Giannis on the bench? I'm
telling you, man.
And I'm really excited for the series. If we're being honest.
And that Hero snarl, that shit went viral. Oh. You know the Miami Heat made a shirt of it already?
I know, bro.
That quick.
I got to pre-order that shit.
I think that's a really cool shirt though.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. I like the personality of this team. I think we're strong enough, like mentally, to bounce back because a lot of teams just aren't. So, bro,
do you see Udonis on the sideline? Always like he's always like cussing them out. Like, I'm pretty sure he's cussing them out.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was like that, like the game two loss. Jimmy was like, we just need Udonis to like cuss us out in the beginning so we could like go hard like the whole game. And I'm like, maybe.
Good plan. I like. He's pretty much just like a coach on the bench. Like, he's not going to play.
I hope, bro. I wanted to play so bad, man. That'd be so fun.
Bro, I love UD. UD's obviously like one of the best players in franchise history. Mm-hmm. He's going to get his jersey retired for sure. And it's crazy because like you look at him and like he's been great.
Yeah, if he doesn't, it'll be.
But what he's meant to the Heat is so much more than just what he does on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. And like you see that in this series. Like, every time you look at the bench, like, he's always the one that's the most into the game. Exactly, he's always like watching everything, watching what everyone does. And he just, like, he is the definition of Heat culture.
Yeah, did you see what D-Wade said, like, also following game two? He's like, how could the player on the bench, like, referring to UD, be more he can't be more angry than the people actually playing.
Yeah.
And I think that really gave him a wake-up call, like, holy shit, we cannot get blown out by the Lakers again.
Yeah, the first two, like, I'm not gonna lie, the first two games, like, that was the least Miami Heat basketball I've seen.
No, for sure.
Since the playoffs started, for sure.
For sure.
Because they kind of look just out of it. They kind of look like they're going through the motions. But, like, Jimmy Butler, bro, he took the game over and he came in with
a mission.
Big
face coffee.
Now, the thing is, for this next game, like, LeBron's going to answer.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Like, LeBron's going to answer. You need to be going expecting, like, a Like what he did against the Celtics in game 6 when he scored 45 mm-hmm. when it was an elimination game.
So you got to double team him, bro. Yeah. The paint. He's so dominant in the paint. And he's always getting the and ones. It's unbelievable.
So you're going to have to defend LeBron a little bit better than he did last game. Even though like LeBron didn't really do too much. And
AD too.
AD. Yeah. AD's not going to score 15 points again. So.
Yeah. He didn't do that good last game. And a lot of, you see if I'm not wrong, it was 4 offensive fouls. It was pretty early. And then you see his face like, what the fuck? It was so stupid.
Yeah, he did have a lot of fouls. And obviously keeping him in foul trouble, got him out of his rhythm. Mm-hmm. And then we're just disrupting him. Every time he got mm-hmm. the ball, double teaming him. That's all you can do. Man. We obviously don't have the size to put a body on him. And that's why, low-key, you saw Rudy Gobert talking about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, bro, bunch of players. Rudy Gobert, oh my god.
A bunch of people. CJ McCollum was another one.
CJ McCollum was another one. Bro,
people are like when you make a top 30 NBA players list, this has to put Jimmy Butler a bunch of players that have never done this before.
Just this game 3 performance was, I think, one of the best Heat games I ever watched in my life. And I've been a Heat game for ever since I was a kid. And just this Heat game, bro, it was sensational. As D-Wade says it, sensational.
Sensational. Yeah, so I mean that's pretty much all we have for you guys today. Make sure to follow us on our socials, Instagram, Twitter, _EBSports. And just say peace out, Jerry.
Peace out, guys. Have a good time here.
All right. Peace, guys. Bye.